blessing as we look into your word. Speak to our hearts. Lord Jesus, encourage and strengthen your people, we pray, to your eternal glory. Amen. You know, there's different times in our lives. I know this happens to you. It happens really a lot, where we're reminded of how quickly time passes by and that we're all getting older. One of the first times that this happened for me was actually when I was in my 20s. And we had Timothy, our second child, and we were picking them up from the preschool at a church that we had him. We were in Tupelo at the time. And we were picking him up there, and as he was walking out, somebody was cleaning out closets or something, and there was some of those old records that they had on the table. You know those 45 records and some of the 78 spin? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The spin records where you put the needle on it? Anyway, some people don't even know what that, they can't even think that way. But Timothy came out and he said, "Look, Mama, at those big CDs." He called them CDs because that's all he knew at the time was a CD. And I thought to myself, and I'm in my late 20s then, and I'm thinking, I'm getting old. And then, but Cindy and I, we'll watch some old movies, and it's funny. We always look at each other every time when somebody in the movie will start dialing those old rotating phones, you know, 5, and they'll do the rotation on it. Some have never even seen a phone like that. But we'll look at each other, and we'll laugh, and we'll say, yep, we're getting old. That's long gone as well. But we're constantly reminded of this deep reality that we are getting older. There is no cream. There is no diet. There is no exercise machine. There is no vitamin. There is no pill, my friend, that can keep that from happening. It is happening, and faster than we think. But my concern is not to state the obvious, which sometimes we need to do, and just state the obvious. But my concern is this spiritual dynamic that we're taught here in this psalm, that we are to grow older and even into old age, continue to produce fruit and live in the grace of God. Now, if you look at this psalm, again, Psalm 92, we didn't read the whole thing. But if you go back and read the beginning of the psalm, it says it is to be sung on the Sabbath. That's in verse 1. That is, the psalms, it's the ancient worship manual, or these songs that were sung in ancient Israel and around temple worship. And so this particular psalm is said to be sung on the Sabbath, like we're doing now. It would be on a Saturday for them, but for us today, we're focusing on this particular psalm on the Sabbath. There's an address to the congregation in the first verse, and there's an address to the Lord in the first verse, and that's church. You are here, I am here, and the Lord is here. And we're centered in this psalm, in the presence of one another and God. And there's no doubt whatsoever that Jesus and his disciples read this psalm together, sang this psalm together on their Sabbaths. They probably did this numerous times. And so we join in with them as we look in particular at these last few verses, but the whole psalm for the worship in the house of God. Now, somebody said that there are 7 decades of life. The first decade is spent in spills. The second decade, drills. The third, thrills. The fourth, bills. The fifth, eels. The sixth, pills. And the last, and then those beyond, wills. And there's no doubt that's a good summary of how quickly life moves from spills to drafting wills. The key word here for any decade, though, is the word the psalmist uses: righteousness or godliness. The godly and the righteous. We want to grow old gracefully and fruitfully in godliness and in righteousness. And that's the way our text begins, in godliness. Now, let me just define righteousness real quick. The righteous, from going all the way back to Abraham, 2,000 years before Jesus, the righteous are defined by faith. By faith. Abraham was accounted righteous because he believed God. The righteousness that we're talking about is not to be earned. The righteousness that comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ is a gift from God. We are positionally in Jesus Christ. We're told that over and over in the New Testament. To be righteous, to be godly, for godliness is to be in Jesus Christ, united with Him by faith. As the Apostle Paul says, it is of faith, our salvation, our righteousness is of faith, that it might be according to grace. Now, righteousness is given by the grace of God. But righteousness or godliness is also to be growing in our lives. So we are saved and we are sanctified by this grace of God. The righteous are those who have a strong and growing saving faith in Jesus Christ. The righteous have been awakened to their sin. They have been awakened to their need for a Savior. They place faith in that Savior, and righteousness is given in Jesus Christ, and righteousness is growing throughout the walk or throughout the life of the believer. Again, just a reminder from Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, we're consistently working out what God has worked in. Something God has done in the heart is expressed in the life. This righteousness given in Jesus Christ and lived out in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was reading one psalm I'm trying to memorize, or one verse is Psalm 86, and I just started trying to memorize this. And I think this captures it very well, the idea of righteousness or godliness. Listen to what the psalmist says, Psalm 86, verse 11. Be a good one for you to maybe memorize as well. Here's the prayer to God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. All right, that's the first thing. That's godliness. Teach me your ways that I might live according to your truth. Not mine, but to your truth. And then he goes on. Grant me purity of heart so I may honor you. That's it. That's the Christian walk. We want purity of heart that we might honor Him and learn the ways of God that we might live that out. That's what we're talking about. The godly. So we must be careful and diligent to work out what God has worked in. Now, the central verse to this psalm is verse 8, when it talks about God is the one who is exalted. Everything at the beginning of the psalm leads to verse 8, God is exalted forever, and everything after that is an expression of that exaltation of God. So the righteous have exalted God and continue to exalt Him. And then the psalmist goes into these figures of speech that are very vivid. The wicked are like grass and weeds, but the righteous like palm trees and the cedars of Lebanon. Flourish and grow, we are told in verse 14. Even in old age, we flourish and grow. Look at verse 12. This is the vivid language that is used for the godly. The palm tree in the Bible. The palm branch is a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of rejoicing. And we see the palm tree in several places in the Scripture. To see a palm tree in the desert in that day and time would often mean an oasis or hope, because palm trees grow in the valley and in the heat, even in the desert. The palm tree is also seen in the Scripture when Jesus is making His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the people have palm branches and they're waving the palm branches. This is a reflection of victory and of grace. And so when Christ is coming into Jerusalem, the palms of victory are waved. And then this in Revelation 7. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. This is a vision of heaven. Palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, here's the victory song. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. The palm tree. The righteous, full of grace and compassion. The righteous, crowned like a palm tree, with palm leaves, with beauty and patience and forgiveness and joy and victory in the Lord. The righteous, like the palm tree, grows even in the drought of a desert. Doesn't matter. Where or the environment, the palm tree grows. But we're also told here that the godly are like a cedar in Lebanon, a cedar tree. Now the cedar was a large, strong, spreading tree, abundant on the mountain slopes of Lebanon, which is a mountain range in Syria. And the cedar tree is all throughout the Bible too. The Egyptians and the Mesopotamians coveted cedar wood. The wood was highly coveted because of its durability. King David built his palace out of cedar wood. So that's the reflection here. It was used in his palace, and King Solomon used it in the building of the temple. And the Old Testament writers used the cedar as a picture of the stature of a man or a woman. The cedar itself could grow to the height of 120 to 140 feet. It's talking about the righteousness of a person, the godliness of a person that stands out strong. And again, in any environment, the palm in low areas and in heat, the cedars in the high and in cold temperatures is where the cedar grows. The righteous, tall and strong in character, their lives and homes are built well out of this wood, cedars of integrity and honesty and prayer and faith and hope. So this is the great imagery that we are told here in this psalm. Now, then verse 13. The question is for us today, where are we planted, these trees? For they are transplanted, the palm and the cedar, transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. That's just speaking of the presence of God. These trees are in the greenhouse of God, and they're flourishing and they're growing because of the presence of God. The one planted in the house of God will never be uprooted. The one planted on the truth of Jesus Christ can grow tall in the grace of God. The one who abides in Jesus Christ will bear much fruit. That's the imagery here in this psalm. And then verse 14 is the one that I was interested in. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. The righteous person remains fresh in the faith and are full of oil and sap. Even the frailest of people physically can bear much fruit in God's economy and in the kingdom of God and in the garden of grace. This is the imagery that we have. Now, I know it's difficult. Someone told me not too long ago, growing old is not for sissies. And it's not. It's not for sissies. There's a certain toughness that has to come with it. But growing old in the grace of God, in this economy of God, has this unique fruit-bearing power to it. The fruit of repentance. Praying prayers of repentance and life-giving prayers. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of victory, even in old age, in the home, in the heart, in the pursuits of life. Someone said, I was reading recently too, that as we grow older, we have fewer and fewer goals in life. And that's true. there are fewer goals, or what we call direct goals on life. It's more of abiding in Christ as we get older and learning to abide in Him and to rest in Him. The fruit of ministry, I think, can continue even in old age, in service, in witnessing, in giving, in loving, in praying. What am I saying? I'm saying, again, in God's kingdom, those that have grown old into old age will still produce fruit and will remain vital and green. That's my prayer for us. As I was preaching on the family, mostly toward a younger audience over the last couple of weeks, especially with children, but I want to focus on the next couple of weeks on those who are growing older, and that's all of us, by the way, and how we can grow old gracefully. And then finally, last word, verse 15. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in Him." This is what those who have walked with God and as they enter into old age will declare. We flourish as we age, and in so doing, we declare who God is. We make this declaration. We've lived long enough to know, and we've lived long enough to say something about His character. And what is that character? The Lord is just. He's righteous. He is my rock. He is my salvation. There is no unjustness, no evil in Him. Or as Jeremiah said in his prophetic word, "The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come and let us declare the work of the Lord our God." And the older we get, I pray for you and for me, the older we get, may we be able to say these words with the deepest of conviction. He is my rock, and there is no evil or unfairness in Him. Let us not just fade away as we get older. Let us flourish in Him, planted in the garden of grace, asking Him to make of us a graceful and fruitful palm tree, a growing and strong cedar tree, and a fruitful plant in the house of God. Adam Clark said this. He was a Methodist commentator on this very scripture. He said, "It is a rare case to find a man in old age full of faith, love, and spiritual hope." I pray that we can find many here that are full of faith, love, and spiritual hope. And that's what I love about our church. And then John Wesley said this about this very passage. He said, "Their last days," speaking of those in old age, "their last days shall be the best days, wherein they shall grow in grace and increase in blessedness." Let it be so. And even with the psalmist, I would pray, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live," however long that is. "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live." And then this word, "I will praise my God to my last breath." Psalm 104. I will praise Him and sing to Him to the very end. Let us be growing in this grace of God, even as we age. More on this next week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Thank You, O God, for the gift of our time together, for Your word that speaks to our hearts, and I pray encourages our hearts, and strengthens us to continue to walk the path with our Lord. It's in His precious name we pray and seek His grace. Amen. Well, let's stand together for our closing psalm this morning.